It is my prayer today that this message will change lives. Very important. Decisions can be made from the encouragement of this lesson. But I can't do anything without God's help. So please, please, and I know I say this every time, this particular one, for obvious reasons, I don't want to cough every 2 minutes. So for obvious reasons, I do ask you to pray for me that I may be able to present this message the way God would have it presented. So please pray for me this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you bless this message. Lord, we are so unworthy to represent you. We are so unwise compared to you. We have nothing to share in our own strength and wisdom. But Lord, through you, we can share so much. And Lord, I pray today that you please, please allow this message to be used in the way that you intended it. Bind Satan and his distractions and help us to accomplish what you have made known to us in so many ways. And Lord, we pray today that this lesson teaches us a very important view of love. God, it won't work unless you help, Lord. And we just pray that you touch it and help it and apply it to each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to begin this message with a rather unique and odd illustrative story, so bear with me. A man had an unusually strange pet. He had a caterpillar as a pet. And this caterpillar was very unique. It was without a doubt the most beautiful caterpillar that anyone had ever seen. It had beautiful colors that glistened in the sun. It had unusual body parts that spoke to anyone looking and saying, "Wow, is this unique and awesome looking." This caterpillar was something that the man just appreciated every day. As he'd look at it and he'd hold it in his hand and he'd see it and tilt it and get those sun rays beating off of it. And oh, that caterpillar meant so much to him. And everybody that looked at it, their first response is, "I have never seen anything this pretty before. This is beautiful. It's gorgeous." And one day, as the man was admiring and loving his caterpillar, all of a sudden, he noticed a change. And of course, most of you are ahead of me. He began to notice the colors dulling. And pieces of the body began to fall off. And the body started taking on a dingy look. And over a matter of time, as we would expect, this caterpillar began to take on the image of a dull, dirty brown as it became a cocoon. The man looked at it and he considered it for a while, and then everybody that had previously said what a gorgeous animal this is, they came by and they looked at that cocoon and they go, "That's disgusting. You need to get rid of that thing. Throw that thing out and get another caterpillar. Get another one of those pretty caterpillars. Get rid of that thing, because that cocoon, that thing is so ugly looking. It's disgusting." The man considered for a while, and you know what his decision was? He said, "No, I love my caterpillar. I'm going to stick with it." And he began to just say, "I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to appreciate my cocoon." And as he looked at that cocoon over the days, you know what happened? He began to appreciate it for its own beauty, for its own uniqueness, for its own shape and its own contours. And all of a sudden, he started looking at that cocoon. And he goes, "That's pretty cool. I got a neat cocoon here. This is great." And he said, "I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to appreciate that cocoon." Well, of course, as he held that cocoon in his hand one day and he was appreciating, all of a sudden the cocoon started moving. And of course, it split down the middle. And as movement gave way to image and shape, all of a sudden something started coming out of that cocoon. And it was, of course, a butterfly. But not just a normal butterfly. This was the most beautiful butterfly that has ever been on the face of the earth. And as this man looked at this butterfly, he goes, "Wow, that's awesome. That's more beautiful than anything I have ever seen." As that butterfly just loved him and he loved it. The story, I want to ask you some direct questions. And that is the fact that what enabled this man to continue to love his caterpillar, even though it was just a caterpillar? Well, most of us would say because it was a neat looking caterpillar. Well, you know what though? No. You know what helped him to love it is he was dedicated. He was completely dedicated to that love of that caterpillar. And then when it turned into a cocoon, everybody else said, throw it away. It's not any good anymore. It's old and it's nasty looking and it's terrible. What made this man able to love that misshapen, ugly, dull colored cocoon? It was dedication and commitment to loving that cocoon. That's how he was able to appreciate finally the beautiful blessing of the butterfly, was because he was so dedicated and so committed to loving that animal, his pet, that no matter what shape it took, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what anybody said, he hung in there and he loved, sincerely loved that pet. And he was able to enjoy the beautiful blessing of having the prettiest butterfly on the face of the earth. You say, Pastor Dennis, what in the world does that have to do with anything? It's a nice story, but what does that have to do with anything? Let me tell you where this story came from. One night, when I couldn't go to sleep, which happens occasionally, I was laying up, and Bonnie was sound asleep. And I won't tell you that she was probably snoring, but she was asleep. And I thought about how much I loved her now, so much more than when we first met. We have now been married 38 years. And when I think about my love for her, it is so much broader, bigger, and wider, and greater than my love even back when we met. You know, and when you look at that situation, you go, well, is it the fact that she's prettier and I'm more handsome than we used to be? Guess what? No. I can show you pictures in there. I used to be a hunk. Now I am a hunk, but not a hunk. I am a hunk. No, you know what I mean. Is it because of the fact that Bonnie met my needs every single minute of every single day of every single year of 38 years and I never got discouraged or disappointed in her? Of course not. Was it the fact that I was such an intuitive man that I knew every need she had in her inner spirit so much so that I was there for her every single time? There ain't no way. No, that's not the case. What has made it possible to love her more today than we met 38 years ago? I am very, very confident and sure that is the consistency, the dedication, and commitment to marriage and to love. You see, even though all of us have cocoon years, years that we aren't as pretty as, you know what, I don't think anybody, let's be honest here, I don't think any of us that are over the age of 30 would say that we're necessarily getting better looking as we get older. But you know what? Our love can grow if we are dedicated, committed to love. We must understand that the world's perspective of love is so much different from God's perspective. We must understand that if we can't make it through the cocoon years, the times when you struggle, the times when a marriage or a relationship gets rocky, then we'll never, ever receive the butterfly years. I make this statement, and some of you will hem-haw and maybe not believe me. I don't know, some of the young people especially. But I do look at Bonnie as much prettier and more beautiful than she was when we first dated. Some of the kids have seen pictures of her. She was a knockout. But you know what? She's prettier now than then because the person is one that I love that much more. You see, the world has a definition of love that takes away commitment. It takes away dedication. And we must understand that there is such an important thing. Some of you in here I know are saying, boy, he's a braggart. He's bragging. He's been married 38 years and he's bragging about it. Let me tell you something, folks. It is not a brag. It is a testimony and a praise that God has blessed us with 38 years. And we need to understand that. But there's a lot of folks in this room who have been married that long, or perhaps just maybe 10 years and above, that would say the same thing, that my love has not decreased for my spouse. My love has grown in those years, though we are not the same person that we were back when we dated. Maybe we aren't quite as attractive as then. But let me tell you something, that doesn't mean love has to dissipate or go backwards. In fact, love can get better. But we must be committed and dedicated. We cannot forget that love is not something that is just an emotion, but love is a commitment. It is a statement of who you are and who the other person is. And hope, no matter what happens, you are with that person. Please understand that everything is not perfect. If you think I'm bragging and saying, oh, Bonnie and I never have any troubles, we never have any fights. Dave will witness to the fact that we fight occasionally. He's been around the house sometimes when we have disagreements. Sometimes those butterflies, even if you get to the point where it's butterflies, those butterflies can be mean. You know, they can attack. But they're still butterflies. You know, over the years, one thing, and most of us, this is going to sound like a very rash statement from a pastor, but I think it's very important as couples learn and go through different circumstances, that even though we may have times, and watch it, here comes the word that's going to make you all cringe, where we literally hate each other. We're so mad that we hate, you know what? You never stop loving. And most of you know what I'm talking about here. You can be so angry at your spouse or angry and so negative, so upset, and yet you continue to love. Why? Because you hold on with determination. You hold on through those difficult times. We hold on to receive the butterfly years. I want to encourage married couples not to listen to the world's idea of love and dedication. The world is very much, as long as you are giving me what I want in the ways I want them, I'm happy. But as soon as I don't get what I want, I'm going to throw it all away and start again. With this attitude, you will never grow past the cocoon stage of relationship. Because you have to go through the cocoon stage to get to the butterfly stage. And that's where the real blessing is. Don't give up. Please don't give up. Now we're going to touch on some issues here. I want us to understand that I'm talking now to married couples, so we're going to speak about marriage at this point. Jesus' opinion of marriage. Let's look at Jesus' opinion of marriage. Matthew 19:6. So they are no longer two, but one. They become one person. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Then Matthew 5:32. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Like I said, hang in there, because I know I'm talking to probably 50% of this congregation who has been divorced. So hang in there. Don't get mad and rush out yet. We're not done. Paul gives a very, very strong statement. Do you know the only time that marriage is, if there is no sin involved, do you understand the only time marriage ends? Is when you die. When you stop breathing. Let's look at Paul's way of putting it. 1 Corinthians 7:39. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes. But he must belong to the Lord. I like that. You like that? Must belong to the Lord. We talked about that in Sunday school. Let's watch out. Teenagers and children, watch out who you date. Make sure they're Christian, because you're only supposed to marry Christians. You can't be mixing it up. And the best way to do that is to make sure you date only Christians. Because once you fall in love, you know what? Your brain disconnects. So you have to keep from falling into that trap before it happens. Love is more. Please listen to this summary of this particular part of it. Love is more than an emotion. It is an action of dedication and commitment. You see, you can't just feel love. You have to show love. You can't just respond in how I respond, or you giving me what I want and I'm mad at you today and tomorrow I'm going to be okay because you've given me a little bit more of what I should have got yesterday. No. You see, it is a commitment. No matter what happens, I am committed to my love. Nothing shakes it. Nothing shakes it. We must understand as we talk about marriage here that, of course, many in this room have been divorced. We know that. It's at least 50 to 60%. I want to encourage you. I am not in any way judging or condemning. I'm encouraging. Because this truth applies to every one of us in this room, even those who are not married, who are going to be married in the future. One of the things, when I counsel a young couple that are thinking about marriage, one of the things I tell them, there's no back door. You better work it out. Because God says you're stuck. So you better work it out. And what that came from was a young lady years ago came to me, and I heard she was getting married, and I told her, I said, congratulations. And she was kind of a forceful personality, shall we say, so I just talked a little bit about it. I said, what if this husband of yours doesn't work well, doesn't earn enough money for you to buy things? Because I knew she was really into buying things. Shopping was big for her. And she goes, well, if he doesn't meet my needs, I'll just leave him. They hadn't been married yet. And she was already looking for that back door. As we shared in our Sunday school class, we covered this because we know there's a sensitivity to those that have been married and remarried, but we also can't change what the Bible says. As a warning to young people, it is not something you put on and take off like a coat. Marriage is a serious commitment, and it is for life. Now, the thing that I wanted to say, though, is those in this room who perhaps have been remarried and you've begun your second marriage or third marriage, I don't care whether it's your 100th marriage, you can begin to live this now. Amen? You can begin to live this commitment and say, no matter what, I am committed to my marriage, no matter what comes my way. Because that will keep us together as couples. Because if you depend on love, If you depend on that ooey gooey feeling, guess what? One day you're going to wake up and that ooey gooey feeling won't be there. Even the newlyweds are smiling on that one. It happens to all of us. And we must understand that that cannot be the source of the cement that holds a marriage together. It must be commitment and bulldogged dedication. That's the only way we can keep together. Of course, Jesus is the center of the marriage, and you know that's my belief. He has to be centermost in the marriage. His will above everything else. But hopefully, if you're both Christians, you're both seeking the Lord first in your marriage. That's the good thing about being married to a Christian. Even if they're acting silly and dumb for a while, if God's conviction is on them, he'll straighten them out. If they're not a Christian, you got no hope. Nobody's working with them. Nobody's improving them. They're on their own. That's one of the reasons why it's so important. And I'm not leaving anyone out who happens to be married to a non-Christian. I understand the struggle. It is a severe problem. And I want to help in any way I can, but I have to encourage the young people to stay within the faith. Because it makes a big difference, a big difference. Now, we've applied it to marriage, and I hope and I pray that that sincerely, hopefully, touches some married couples in this room that are struggling, perhaps going through those cocoon years, whether it's stress or family problems, financial problems, whatever the stress and the problem may be coming through, hold on, don't give up. Stay hanging in there. Because if you, no telling what you're going to miss in the future. So please, please hold on in commitment. we apply it to marriage. But let me tell you something, folks. This philosophy, if you will, applies to every time we use the word love. Too often we Christians use the word love almost like we just say, hey, how you doing, brother, sister? I love you. And we don't even think about what we're saying. One area I want to look at is I love the church. Most of us, if I asked that question right now, we would all raise our hand. I love the church of Jesus Christ. Don't do it. I love the church of Jesus Christ. We'd all raise our hand. But the interesting thing is, folks, when we look at what this implies, do we love it by the world's definition, or are we loving it the way God has instructed us to love, with firm dedication and commitment? So often, we love the church until something goes against our own will. Some decision is made. You all have heard the stories about so many churches splitting over what color to paint the walls. That's happened in churches. That's so sad. I've heard people leave the church because somebody was sitting in their pew that Sunday. That's so sad. But you know what that shows? Lack of commitment to their love. You see, if you let just surface things bother you so much, is that commitment? You and I would never stay married if we let little things come up and drive us away, because they come up every day, don't they? And yet in the church, as soon as something happens that's not the way I like it, then immediately I don't have any requirement to fulfill my love requirement. I can get mad and pout and get bitter and angry and just pull away. Is that commitment? Is that the kind of love that we as Christians should show for Jesus' church? We should love with commitment, not the world's definition. As long as it meets my needs, I'm happy. I've said often that the true test of Christian maturity is not when you get what you want. It's when you don't get what you want. That's the test of Christian maturity. Have you ever noticed that some people in the church, and I know y'all have, we represent many, many churches around the country for years and years and years, and so you know you've got a lot of resources to draw from, but have you ever noticed sometimes there's people in the church who are never unhappy? They're always happy. They're always positive. And then there's some that are the exact opposite. They're almost never happy. They're always upset about something. They're always negative about something. They're always fussing about something. Now, when you look at those two people, let me ask you, did either one of those people get their way every single time? No way. No way. When you're in a church of 200, we're not yet, but in a church of 200, there's 280 different opinions on how something should be done. So there's no way anybody gets their way all the time. Even the pastor doesn't get his way all the time. So I know those two people didn't get their way all the time. Why is one happy and one unhappy? It's because the happy person has looked past not getting their way, and they love the church with dedication. And they know that the real reason they're there is not for their own desires to be met, but to love Jesus Christ. And they are filled with joy because of that. The other person, sadly, who only seeks their own self-will or self, what they want in church, is never, ever satisfied, because they will never find, what's the old saying, when you find a perfect church, don't join it, because you'll mess it up. And it is that way with that sad person. They never find that perfect church, because their love is surface love for the church. Let's go deep. Amen. Let's be so dedicated to love the church that yeah, we may not get our way all the time, but you know what? I still love this church, and I want to see it save people and lead people to Jesus Christ. What we give, we receive. Please look at these verses. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The one who sows to, Galatians 6:8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature.
from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For that proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Isn't that cool? Be nice to everybody, especially to the family believers. Isn't it sad sometimes that Christians are real nice to the world, that they meet at business and they come into church and they growl at each other? I'm not saying that's here, but that's what happens many times if we aren't careful. We must be careful. We must love one another with dedication. Let me give you another illustration, application to this theology, and that's the fact that in friendship, many of you are blessed much more than I am. We've been pretty transient my whole life, so I don't have long-standing 30, 40-year-old friends. Many of you do, as far as being around them and being able to know them and keep in touch with them on a daily basis, this type of thing. What a blessing that is. But you know what? The key to friendship is what we're talking about here. If you get ticked off at your friend the first time they do something wrong that annoys you, guess what? You ain't gonna have no friends. And we must understand that friendship is just as hard to make work as marriage is sometimes. Do we want friends? Then we've got to be friends. Many of us are new in this area. I consider myself still relatively new. And if we complain about not having friends, it's only because we haven't reached out and we're friendly to others. And so we must begin to reach out to other people. But also we have to be committed to that friendship. Because I guarantee you that person's going to do something sometime that's going to upset you. The last one I want to talk about is when we say we love God. You say you love God. Most of us in this room, if I ask you to raise your hands, you'd raise both hands. I love God, I love God, I love God. As long as he does what I want him to do. As long as he blesses me the way I want to be blessed. As long as he takes me where I want to go. As long as he gives me all the things I want in this world. Please don't add those things to that statement. We should love God with a commitment and a dedication. Let me tell you something, like we said in Sunday school today, you can know that God loves you no matter what's happening in your life. You can have that faith. And let me tell you something, sometimes life stinks, amen? I'm sorry, it does. Wow, that's really shocking, isn't it, that I would say that from a pulpit. But you know what, it does. Occasionally life gets rough. And if you take that and grade your relationship with the Lord at that point by the circumstances, you have missed the whole picture. Because my God has not changed. Circumstances change. God is still as loving and caring and kind through whatever you go through. He is still there. He won't leave us. Amen. You talk about dedication and commitment. Look at the love of God. And I'm not, once again, I don't want anybody to raise your hand. I always have to say this because I'm always afraid somebody will raise it. But how many of us deserve God's love? Give me a break. None of us. We all let him down every day one way or the other. We do not deserve the love that God gives us. Why does he give it to us? Because he's committed in his love. He will not forsake us. No matter how bad we get, no matter how many mistakes we make today, my God will love me at the end of that day. And that is such a peace. But folks, I want us to understand, Christians, that's the kind of love he desires from us to him. You cannot have a God that you love only through the good times, and when you get bad times, you go running away and hide somewhere because God's not treating you right. Let me tell you something. He hasn't changed. We change. Circumstances change. But God doesn't change. Please, love him with a dedication. Love him with a commitment. Love him so much so that nothing puts a water to the fire that you have in your heart. I want us to skip some verses. We're going to go look at some verses at the end. John 15:9, Bonnie. Last three verses on your verse sheet, I believe. John 15:9. Listen to the love that God has called us to have towards others and to him. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Jesus is making a statement here. Can you imagine how much, you know, Jesus is God, and we're not going to get in a big Trinity trying to explain the Trinity here, but Jesus was God. And he's saying how much the Father loved me, the Son. That's how much I love you. Jesus loved you so much that no matter what came, no matter what pain, no matter what pain, no matter what misery he had to go through, he held on to love us, to care about us. He's called us to the same kind of love. John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Luke 10:27. This is the most important commandments we have. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Excuse me. With all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Do you understand what God is saying in those verses? And I've preached on the subject of love, how important it is. It is the most important thing that God has for us is love. The most important thing that we have for anyone else, Christians, is love. Without love, we're nothing. We're useless. 1 Corinthians 13 says it very plainly, that we are useless without love. We have to love. We have to be loving people. But the thing about it is if we love surface love, if we just love God on the surface, we'll never go deep. If we want love, excuse me, I guess I better go ahead and break it out, excuse me. Didn't want to do, I've almost made it, folks. One of you wasn't praying. If we don't endeavor to have God-like love, we miss so much. In our relationship with our friends, with our relationship with our fellow church members, with our relationship with our spouses, but most of all, our relationship with God. You will miss the blessing if you're only in it for what you get out of it. Because the greatest thing you can do for God is give him something, because he just loves it. And it fills you with such a blessing. Please, open your heart today. I don't know situations and relationships, and those who are not married in this room, some of the older teens and some of the other kids, we need to think about that when we enter relationships. Make it serious. Now, I'm not saying get married at 16, but I am saying that we need to take it where it means something when we actually say we love somebody. That it doesn't become some word that we just throw out there just because we just feel like it. We need to have commitment in that word. And it should be for not only God, for not only our spouses, perhaps boyfriends and girlfriends, but also among each other in the church. Do you love the church? Do you love one another? Then let's love with commitment. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us this truth. God, you know that I am not in any way bragging about Bonnie and I sharing so many years together, because we know, we readily admit, there's just no way we'd ever be married if it wasn't for you. We give all the praise and glory to you. And Lord, I pray today that you will touch someone today in a very special way. Lord, please help. Help strengthen marriages. We are concerned about marriages. I want to see the divorce rate drop in churches, in Christians. Lord, I just want to see your wonderful hand heal marriages. Lord, that's going to take people of humble hearts seeking you. And Lord, I just pray that you help us all to seek your will. God, I pray today that you help us to be able to be people that love with commitment and dedication, whether it be our spouses, whether it be the church, whether it be other Christians and friends, whatever area it is, Lord, but especially when we say we love you, Lord, help us to do it with some serious commitment and dedication. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you and appreciate you so much. Please help us to take that serious today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward, please. And I do appreciate your patience while I had to struggle through the... I hope